Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money
at Menards. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get all the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in and own all the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. A lot of pressures on him. So anyway, let's keep it going, man. Much love to the fan. Appreciate you. What's up, Dr. Key? I haven't seen you in a while, my friend. How you doing? Jay Survivor's in this thing as well. Dana, shout out to you. Queen, Eternal, shout out to you. What's up, my brother? How you doing? My dog Randolph in the building. He said, darling, not making the team. Stop it. He's a you and acting like the next Jimmy Graham. All that is going to be the kid. We bought it from the University of Pittsburgh. Okay, Randolph got his guy. Watch and see, Randolph. Watch and see. That's recorded right there, brother. Remember that. That's recorded, what you just said. And watch what Dale and Hawker do. You're going to be the third tight end on the board. Watch. You're going to be the third tight end. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you how this is going to work, man. I'm telling you. You're going to see. I got this record. I'm saying, hey, Randolph, remember? All right, Pseudo Sis Q. I've been a Saints fan for the first game. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. He says when Sullivan ran the first kickoff. Oh, yeah. This is a diehard day one, straight up to you. All right. Troop Hurts, what's popping with you, fam? Appreciate you as well. KD, what's happening, bro? Says I've been saying this, even though it's still the easiest. Half the teams we play made the playoffs. Other teams will be better. Indeed. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. You got to be able to adjust with things going on. We talked about it in the NFC South roundtable. We talked about and heard from all of the other teams in the NFC South. We've seen that Tampa Bay had a solid draft. The free agency was decent. And a lot of these teams have improved some of their perceived weaknesses. Even when we look at their teams and we look and say, man, they need this, they need that. It is perceived that they have spent money and resources toward bridging the gaps or the holes on their teams. So you anticipate the NFC South being a lot more competitive, just like you see the NFC being more competitive. People are starting to make their moves and do what they're supposed to do. So Saints had an agreeable schedule last year, an agreeable situation. We didn't take advantage of it. And we'll see how we do this year. With the cap, with them having the cap restrictions and limitations over this year and next year, the Saints have a job to do. He'll have a job to do. So, yeah, it's true, man. This is very true. All right. Shout out to you, man. All right. Who that said they got a birthday coming up? Shout out to you, bro. Coming up tomorrow. Is that? All right. Okay, Riley. Okay, what's up, Riley? Relly. Is that Relly? Relly, shout out to you, says, Q, my B-Day is tomorrow. All right. Happy who that birthday to you, my man, tomorrow. Shout out to you. Is it Relly? Relly, shout out to you, Relly. Much love. John says, anyone who doesn't pick this team to win, he's the South. When the South is delusional, will they? Don't know, but I don't see how you can pick against them. Pick against the Saints to win the South? I don't have the confidence, that good confidence you have, John, to be honest with you, with the Saints at this juncture of time. To me, it's still too early. I still got to see how fast they get it together. Now, like I said, I do like John Benton, offensive line coach. I do like Clint Kubiak. I do like Clint Kubiak. I think he's intelligent. I think, you know, that's the family business, what he's got going on. I still have questions in terms of the Saints offensive line. I still have some questions around the team. Now, like I said, I still have to be able to kind of see what it all looks like, because I think accountability is a big part of it too. He talked about, you know, in an older interview about high stress practices and all this kind of stuff. But it's a big culture change that has to happen on the offensive side of the ball, and a lot of pressure on them to succeed this year, where people are just not going to tolerate 4 straight years of 9 playoff football. That's just not going to go away. And a lot of teams have gotten better. So like I said, to me, I don't have the same confidence you have right now about the Saints. I need to see some more. I need to see some more stuff before I started like saying this, because remember, I betted on the Saints and lost the bet, had to put on a goddamn Atlanta shirt. So you damn right, I'm pessimistic. You put that damn Atlanta shirt on, man. I'm not going to do it. All right, one more. John says Derek Carr couldn't do you know what last year against nothing but backups, going against the easiest schedule to ever exist in the NFL. The way it worked out for who that, which means he's really going to get exposed this year. I don't know if he gets exposed, but I anticipate Derek Carr is going to take, he's going to probably take as much time as he took last year to learn Sean Payton's system, or Pete Carmichael's interpretation of Sean Payton's system when he was supposed to. It had the title of being a QB friendly system. It was supposed to be a system that most quarterbacks loved and could pick up relatively fast. It didn't happen last year. It took him all of last year to pick the system up toward the back end of the year. Now, this is some, you know, and I've talked to people and have heard from interviews and stuff like that, and they said that how complicated the system that Kubiak's bringing in here. So we'll see how it all looks, man. But I think Clint Kubiak has the right idea. He just needs to implement it. The identity, running the ball, I think that is key. Relying on the running game, relying on your running back room, Elvin, Jamal, Kendre, Taysom, relying on those guys, you know, and getting that going, and then bringing Carr, and I call it play action Carr, and bringing Carr as play action Carr off the back of that strong running back room. I think that is the key until everybody start picking up everything else with Clint Kubiak's offense. You got to establish an identity, and you have to run the football. So that is probably the biggest thing. If we can do that well, then you're talking. Then you get Carr going and play actions, which force the safety to come down there and help in the run support. And you got one-on-ones, and all the thing you have to do is aim it in a direction. And you know, Chris Olave going to go and get it. Rashid Shaheed going to go and get it. It just simplifies everything. Play action Carr is the guy I want to see. I don't want to see anybody say, go out there, Carr, go win me a game. I just don't want to see that. I don't think he would be able to do that, man. Like, go win us a game, Derek Carr. No, don't do that. Let's just run the ball. But we'll see, fam. I want to see our running attack get going first. So Kubiak, like I said, man, he got a lot going on. So anyway, let's get to it, man. Y'all hit the like button, man, as we get popping and going. Y'all put one in the chat if y'all can hear this. This is Mickey Loomis talking about the Saints on the Adam Schein show. Here we go.
He was there. I mean, I felt like that was a perfect no-brainer New Orleans Saints Mickey Loomis kind of selection. Like, that was the perfect fit and pick and need. All of it rolled into one for your New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I would say that, look, the strength of this draft, one of the strengths was definitely offensive line and the tackle position, and it happened to be a need for us. And so that kind of meshed well together. Look, you're always, you know, when you're picking 14, you're always nervous that they all go before you pick. So it was good to see all the quarterbacks go. And look, they all deserve to go too in the top 12 picks. But that helped us in terms of pushing some guys down to pick 14.
When you see Penix go eight to Atlanta with that as a backdrop, what was your reaction in the Saints war room?
What's up, brother?
Yeah, look, I think, listen, I think it's a good pick. Michael Penix is going to be a really, really good football player. And look, their GM, Terry Fontenot, you know, worked here with me for 17 years. And so he's one of the smartest, guys I've ever worked with. He's one of the best guys I've ever worked with. He's a great talent evaluator. And I know, look, they've gotten some criticism because that's a pick for the future. But listen, that's what you have to do sometimes. You have to think about what's best for the organization going forward. And you know, Michael Penix is a really, really good talent. And I don't blame him at all for taking him.
How high was Fuaga on your draft board? We mentioned these offensive tackles. You felt like there were about, you know, five that are quote unquote franchise tackles. He certainly was one of them. Is this someone that you had targeted throughout the process? And Mickey, what could he bring to the table right away, instantly, for your New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, well, look, I think first of all, he's just a really good player. He's well rounded. He's good in the run game, and he's a good pass protector. And he's played at a high level against a lot of good competition. He's going to be competing to start right away. And so, the other thing that he's got is, man, he's got great makeup. I mean, he's going to end up not initially as a rookie, but eventually he'll be one of the leaders of our team. We've got a great room in that offensive line. And I always feel like, man, the character of your team begins with, you know, the character of the offensive line. And we've got a really good group there, and he's going to fit in nicely.
So Kool-Aid McKinstry,
let me stop it right there for a second. The offensive line, man, is attitude-wise, you know, not from a talent standpoint. The only thing I can say about watching, just in particular, the Saints offensive line last year, and you guys chime in, great Saint Think Tank, y'all let me know how y'all feel about that. The offensive line last year, McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, Andres Pete, Trevor Penning, whoever, Cam Irvin when he played, Landon Young, Ramchek, all these guys. The problem I had with the Saints offensive line last year, outside of it being offensive line coach Doug Marrone, was just garbage, was the fact that the mentality of the line wasn't present in majority of the games. If it was, we could have got a couple of games extra. A lot of times, like we talk about this all the time, right, fam? It takes an attitude to run the ball. It takes attitude. The Saints offensive line didn't have that attitude all the time. Like, you can watch them just, like, some of these games, they were just going through the motion. Remember games when Elvin Kamara would get the ball and Kamara would get handed off to left or right and he'll run into the hole and then he'll pick up a tough 2 yards, get up and just drop the ball and just walk back to the other. Y'all remember that? It was just everything running was difficult for the Saints early on, just trying to stick to it consistently, trying to establish the run. Even when it was outside, when we was running to the outside, you know, it wasn't like what it was supposed to. Like, you have Andres Pete will pull to the left, or you have James Hurst will pull out to the left to try to block guys. He'll get there late. The linebacker will get there late. And I mean, the linebacker would get early. Hurst would actually get there late. The lineman would get there. The linebacker would get where he was supposed to be. And these guys would go out there. They would miss blocks. And Elvin Kamara, a promising play for Kamara that would end up probably like 7-8 yards, would be like a 2-yard or 3-yard pickup. And I would look at that because that really infuriated me, because I would do, we did the Patreon shows when we looked at the All 22. So we looked at the All 22, and I would, fam, the All 22, you can't hide on that. It shows everything. The All 22 shows it all. And when you watch the film, even when I was watching the game, I was like, man, that dude whiffed on that block. Why that guy ain't pull out there and do that? Why he ain't take that guy head off? Why? I mean, they were just going through the motions. So my only thing moving forward is with John Benton coming in here. I know Benton, we have to toughen up that meanness. We have to toughen up that mentality. If we're going to run the ball effectively, and it's going to be the identity or the staple, according to what Clint Kubiak is telling us, we got to toughen up, man. Now, I know I watch Ollie Udo do his thing in Minnesota, and he was all right at the guard position. Fuaga, to me, plays with that type of mentality. Penning did when he came here. Remember when Penning stepped through the door, he was fighting the veterans, pushing when they blowing the whistles, he's still pushing them out and pancaking them. Remember all that? That Penning just disappeared. I like that Penning because that was a confident, tough Penning. The guy we got now is not the same dude we had when he was a rookie. Some kind of way it done domesticated him. Domesticated the man. We need to bring that back. We need that edge. We need that mental toughness that the Saints, that Penning played with. And of course, we need to play under control with it. But we need that type of thinking if we're going to dominate with the running attack. McCoy, much love the brother McCoy. He way too chill, you know, way too chill. You know, that we need, you know, the most I seen him get buck is that time where he's about to body slam Derek Carr and James Hurst had to get in front of him. Boy, if James Hurst ain't get in front of him, Carr probably would have been in the hearse. But, you know, that's the most I seen McCoy get buck all last season. Is when he was trying to get at Carr and Hurst had to block him. I don't know what Carr told him, but McCoy wanted a handful of them. He's going to make him touch every item on the Saints sideline, looked like to me. But that's just one of my things, man, I'm thinking about. So let's keep going. That mentality has to change.
I thought was going to go in the first round. I'm curious, at what point did you start looking at the board? Talent, area of need, end of first round, you trade up a few spots in round two to secure them. At what moment do you start burning those phones and thinking, you know what, this is a great potential draft pick for the New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, I would say, when the night ended, when night one ended and he's still on the board, then we're talking about, hey, how do we get up? And you start making those calls and look, it's a cost benefit analysis. And so you start making calls and you know what your price is. And look, he kept being available as the picks went on in that second round. And look, we were able to make a move and move up a few spots and really excited to get Kool-Aid. Obviously we had a high grade on him. I think a lot of teams did. And there was a surprise that he lasted as long as he did. And the only downside is now I've got to call I, as a grown man, got to call another grown man Kool-Aid.
You got to call another grown man Kool-Aid? Like, you got to call another grown man Mickey? Can't be more difficult than calling an older growner man Mickey. I mean, it can't be more tougher than that, right?
So, did you ask him about the name? I mean, that's a great line. I mean, you can start, you know, going to the old commercials, you know, do the ooh yeah for the Kool-Aid man. I mean, did you ask him about the origin of all that? I mean, because you're right. Now you're going to start saying Kool-Aid this, Kool-Aid that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked with him before about, you know, his given name and where Kool-Aid came from. And look, it's great when you're a teammate, right? And you're calling somebody by their
name. I guarantee Mickey Loomis probably never drunk some Kool-Aid. How elite does he act? What do y'all think? You think Mickey Loomis?
I have Kool-Aid. I had Sunrise, so I don't know about that Kool-Aid stuff. You know?
How many of y'all think Mickey Loomis ever drunk some Kool-Aid, fam? Y'all put it in the chat. What y'all think? I don't think Mickey Loomis ever had any Kool-Aid. I'm
nickname. Look, we've all been there and done that.
That's right.
But look,
that's
I'm a 67-year-old man. I'm going to become one of our players Kool-Aid. You know, it's just it's just kind of a funny little item. But we're excited to have him. Excited to. About the way he, you know, conducts himself and his football instincts are off the chart. So we're really excited to get him. And look, I would say that's not a position of need for us. But corner is a valuable, you know, it's one of the valuable positions on your team. And if you can stack guys up at that position, then you're going to be better off for it.
So what does this mean here when it comes?
That's pretty good right there, L-Dub. L-Dub said he drunk the Kool-Aid and when he made D.A. the coach. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the Sean Payton Kool-Aid. So you're right on that. All right, big ups. Brother Hakeem said this year, hopefully, with a coaching change up front, we could get something out of Penning and sell DeVary. You know, he said they were relatively high draft picks. He said the bullet and bring Pete, bite the bullet and bring Pete back on a 1 year deal. All right. Thank you, Brother Hakeem. Shout out to you. All right. Big ups. It's true, man. You know, it's crazy how that all goes. Dana says he drinks Sunny D. All right. I guarantee you don't drink no damn Kool-Aid. Brother Hakeem said we could have a solid group up front. Agree, Big Q. DC success depends on, he said, this blood running game to open up the play action with DC is solid. He had the success in Las Vegas with that. You're right. 100%, 1,000%. That's where we need to go. Because the truth is, man, I don't see Derek Carr as a savior. See, the Raiders, and I had some talk. We discussed this on a prior show with a couple of the Raider diehards. And they have a lot of love for Derek Carr. And Derek Carr did a lot of stuff for the Raiders. I mean, insofar as like taking out, he was there for like, what, 10 years or something, whatever it was. And he took down 9 years, whatever. And he took down a lot of the passing records, the touchdown records, passing records, all kind of stuff. He's like high in the record books out there. So he's a bit of a kind of a legend to the Raider Nation, like Drew. I don't know if it's like Drew because Drew did a little bit more, but it's similar insofar as the respect aspect of it that they have for Derek Carr, that we have for Drew Brees. But Derek Carr, I don't see him, and I know a lot of the great Saint Think Tank and Who That Nation doesn't see Derek Carr as a savior type. He's making a lot of money, $150 million. That's because Dennis Allen overvaluing Derek Carr. Now, listen, I'm not saying that Carr can't have success, but I'm thinking when you have a new system that's complicated, you gotta lean on your strongest room. That's the running game. The Saints, there is no other room on the offensive side of the ball that's stronger than a running room. And like I say, Elvin, Jamal, Kendre, and Taysom, you might as well throw him in there. That's the strongest room that you have, and you're going to have to rely on that. The problem is that one of the weaker rooms that you have will be called upon to do their job. So the strongest room, the most thorough room, can do their job, and that's the offensive line. And we have a lot of question marks at the offensive line. I know Ramczyk more than likely is not going to be good to go for the season. So that hurts. So you have two relatively new offensive linemen. One's going to be Penning. The other one's is going to be Fuaga. You got to find out a left guard where Ali Udoh will probably play the left guard position. And then you have McCoy, and then you have Cesar Ruiz there. But that's a lot of young people, you know, out of the two, five positions of the offensive line, you got three new people and both of them are tackles, you know, two of the three are tackles. So that could be problematic for a quarterback. So, you know, in terms of him feeling comfortable back there. So I would be really, pushing or advocating for the Saints to get the best five that they have offensive line wise. So we can get that running the ball thing going. And then everybody start learning as we go, because everybody has to learn. This is totally new. Yes, I don't think this hasn't happened to the Saints in a very long time. We have an offensive line change, a philosophy change. And it's a lot of pressure. It's like the guy don't have 3 years to install it. You know what I'm saying? They bring this guy in here, and it's the fourth year not making the playoffs. It's Dennis Allen's third year. And people want to see it change. The Saints are not a young team where they got 4 or 5 years and we got this window. No, the Saints are vastly burning through their window. DeMario Davis got a couple of years left on his contract. Cam Jordan's almost out of here. Tyrann Mathieu's going to be out of here. And the Saints are relying on older veteran players to school the young guys. So it kind of evens out the transition. So we don't go all the way down. We kind of just dip a little bit, then keep on going and maybe incline. But order for that to happen, certain aspects of the team really have to step their game up. And that's a lot of pressure on Clint Kubiak to get that other side of the ball going. Because if you don't have success over there, everybody going to be fired. That's a lot to hold on to. You know what I'm saying? That's really something. What's up, Gundam? Shout out to your fam. Let's get back to
To Marshawn Lattimore, if anything.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. Marshawn's been a really good player for us for a good period of time. He's one of the leaders of our team. And look, like it's just like I said, you know, we can use as many corners as we can get. And we've got a good group, a really good group, and they're going to help each other and they're going to help our team win.
So elaborate on that if you can for us, Mickey, because there was so much conversation. And you're right, Marshawn's one of your guys, part of a fabled and famous draft class, right? I mean, you know, there was so much conversation about trading Kim, and there still is conversation about it. Is he on the market? Is he going to be a Saint this year? I know what you think of him. I know what you think of the cornerback position. I know what Dennis Allen thinks of the cornerback position. Separate fact from fiction for us on Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, I would say this about any player is that, look, when a guy's a really good player for your team, they're not on the market per se, but there are times when you get a call and somebody makes a proposal and it might make sense for you. That's true for any player on our team.
And ain't for Carr. They ain't trading Carr.
If you get an offer you can't refuse, you at least have to look at it. And so that's what I would say. I'm not actively trying to trade Marshawn. Marshawn's, you know, such a good player. He's an elite corner. He's had some injuries the last couple seasons that have kept him, you know, off the field. And, you know, we've got to get over that. It's not his fault. It's just circumstances. And so, you know, that's just where we're at.
Mickey Loomis, of course, with Adam Schein, Schein on Sports, man.
What's interesting about that whole situation, and it kind of moves away from the Marshawn Lattimore thing, the trade situation dealing with Marshawn. And then, like I said, I talked about this early in the show about why that's even a thing. I mean, his contract is not bad like that. It's like, well, he don't play enough games and all that. No, it's not that at all. And Lattimore's been a good player for the Saints for a while. And he's a shutdown cornerback. When he's healthy, it's nothing going over there. The Saints have a solid secondary, to be honest with you, a very solid secondary with the guys we have. I know Alante Taylor struggled last year, but it was Alante's sophomore year. Most of the players go through sophomore slumps. Paulson Adebo did it the year before that. So they all go through a sophomore slumpish year. That's why I always am patient with players coming out of that second year, that sophomore year. And then you see them escalate in the third year because they go through it. You've seen Paulson Adebo was our best cornerback last year after that horrible sophomore year. I anticipate Alante Taylor doing the same damn thing. So in essence, the Lattimore thing, like, why is he even on the trade block? Because, man, somebody might have called the Saints and asked, and he might have took a call or whatever and all this kind of stuff. And he's saying, you got to pay attention to these political types that like to talk, that his term was, we're not actively trying to trade Lattimore, not actively. So non-actively, are you looking to trade him? See what I'm saying? See, it's easy to just squash all this out by saying we're not traded. Actively, non-actively, or otherwise, whatever. We're not actively trying to trade him. So non-actively. You non-actively trying to trade him? It's just double speak, man. It's just a way to just BS, man. Lattimore shouldn't go anywhere. I was saying that the whole damn time. Only reason why is the problem because of Dennis Allen and how Dennis Allen is operating as a coach. He's off code. And Lattimore is right. And a lot of the Saints players have an issue with Dennis Allen is because of his off-code behaviors, drawing his team under the bus, so on and so forth. I ain't going to keep going through it, but y'all know what time it is. Y'all know what you got. And a lot of the players that feel like you feel, they're human beings too. They know what time it is. They get it up close and personal. You know, they get to see him shasheeing around there every damn day. yeah, they already know, man. They're like, man, my goodness, my God, what's going on here? Yeah, man, let me tell you something. All right, Gundam says, we'll get right back to it, fam. Cam Rattler challenged Carr in a later season for QB number one. He knows the scheme. Something drastically has to happen for that to happen. Like a lot of people saying Q, I think it'll be the quarterback pick. A lot of people saying Carr, Haener, and Rattler. And I was like, no, I don't think so. I think the Saints are going to try to keep a veteran backup. I think it'll be Carr, Peterman, and one of those two young guys. And Jake Haener could be in trouble because the guy that picked Jake Haener is not here anymore. The guy that drafted him for the system was Pete Carmichael. That was his guy. And we got a new offensive coordinator that got his guy. So usually when you see that happening, the other guy is usually the odd man out. So Spencer Rattler has a lot of tools that Jake Haener doesn't have, but Jake Haener has to play like a man on fire. Now, it is definitely the opportunity for Haener to supplant a move past Peterman because, like I said, all these systems, everybody got to learn the system. Whoever learns the system fast might have a chance, so there's always a chance. But when you look at why Peterman is here because of his connection to Derek Carr and the fact that, and we not know that Haener, Fresno State, all that kind of stuff, but a Peterman was a backup with Carr when he was with the Raiders. I'm like, why is this guy here? No disrespect to Nate Peterman, man. But I'm just saying why they had a lot of other guys with better resumes that were available, you know, that could have been a backup for you.
You know, when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks, that's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.